On my soul, on my Lord, my heavens.
On my grandma.
How was your time in the South?
My time in the South? Oh, in New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Tulane. Oh, it was precious. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Are those the kinds of people you were hanging
out with? Oh, it was.
High flutes.
Not New York trash, no.
You are that dirty New York trash they let coming around. My godmother is from Birmingham, Alabama. And she comes from a very posh but Birmingham family. So she actually has the most beautiful accent in the world, where it almost sounds British, and she speaks very slowly, and she's like, how do you do? You know, like, it's lovely.
I would love to get yelled at
and
by her.
Chastised. No, you would not. I have been yelled at her after church.
After church?
And that was not fun.
Are you misbehaving in church?
Eric and I, my brother and I, were definitely misbehaving in church because, like every other Southern person, she is a Baptist. And the Baptist church that she went to, they were allowed to spank you.
Shut up.
If you were bad.
You're just getting spanked in the pews?
No, like the youth group, like when you break off and like you would go do like youth church. And like my brother and I, we did not grow up in like a Baptist church, but we like lived with my godmother for 3 months at some like odd period of our life. Like Eric, my brother at the time, like had just, he was super young, he was 4, but he had like just learned the word fuck.
Oh, good. So I'm sure
perfect.
And it went
over super well with the Southern Baptists. Mm-hmm. And he got his little ass beat. And what makes it funny is that it wasn't like once, it was twice. It was like 3 times.
And what on one Sunday, Eric.
It got to the point where they were basically like, stop bringing them to this church.
These trailer park trash children saying fuck in the background. It's a house of worship, okay, for the demure and the devout.
Oh, my God. No, but my godmother, actually, her job in life or her passion in life, because, you know, she's a lady.
Yeah.
She never had a career.
A lady who lunches.
Yeah. She read for the blind because she had such a beautiful voice.
That's actually very sweet.
Yeah. Anyways, so you had a good time in the South?
Yeah, you know. I rushed immediately back to the North, so
my own independence, if you will.
I feel like we, since our last recording, actually, wait, first, welcome back to Arts Back. I'm your host, Jerry Bogosian, here with my right-hand queen, Annie Taylor.
Annie Taylor, or her court jester, as I have so lovingly named myself.
But like, okay, literally so much has happened since we last recorded. Like, I got engaged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yale Open Studios.
Yeah.
Freeze. I went to London and came back.
Yeah.
You
got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
You went to Freeze. You went to 152.
154. NADA.
NADA. And
Future.
Future. Mm-hmm. And you went to the South.
And I did go to the South for a very, very academic reason, a bachelorette party.
did you guys like suck on penis draws?
No, actually, she's very classy. My sister-in-law's a very classy girl.
Oh.
There was no penis sucking, much to my chagrin. But no, lots of girls bonding, lots of tanning and drinking and eating and lots of laughs.
Did you have... dick sucking straws at your...
No.
No?
But that was a failure on my maid of honor's part.
Did you... Okay, now that I'm engaged, which we're going to get
engaged. Engaged.
Engaged. Like, did you do all the things?
Like, what do you mean, all of
like,
the things?
Did you do, like, a bridal shower?
I did a bridal shower, and I had a bachelorette.
Party.
And it was so annoying to my bridesmaids. I made them go to St. Lucia for my bachelorette, and then I made them fly to Florida for my wedding. I'm awful. They love me.
they spent all the money for their wedding on your wedding.
All of their weddings have been postponed until 2027.
Yeah,
to shoulder the financial burden of my requests.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like one of the first people like in my friend group to get married, and I'm 38 because I hang out with a lot of gays.
Yeah.
And I also, who tend to just not get married. And also, like, the, like, 2008 millennials who, like, couldn't get their shit together because we, like, lived through a crazy financial crisis were, like, we're doing everything at once. We're, like, getting engaged, getting married, freezing our eggs.
Buying a house,
trying to do everything at once, trying to catch up. Like, I feel like you're kind of doing things at a normal...
Normal pace or rhythm.
Yeah. My, my plans...
Well, we're definitely having a bridal shower for you.
Obviously. We are?
Obviously.
A shower or a bachelorette?
One, two things. Yes.
But, like... Okay, later on, you have to explain what those things mean to me because, like, I don't really know what that means. And I, like, hi, I'm sober now, and I really feel like there is this tie that sounds very fun.
Yeah.
To, like, just getting blackout wasted with your girlfriends.
That's an element of it. It's not all.
Okay.
I'll break it down for dummies. Okay.
Thank you.
Your bridal shower. It's something that, like, your mom and your sister, your maid of honor, throw for you. It's usually, like, a tea or a lunch and all the grandmas and aunties.
And this is when I have to give a gift.
Yes, to the bride.
No, I give a gift to the bride, maids of honor.
No, that's something different. That's a third event that you is not obligated. We'll get to that. That's a bridesmaid's lunch.
Okay.
So the bridal shower is for you. Everyone brings a gift to you. Everyone talks about
what kind of
gifts.
Like,
play games.
What kind of gifts?
Sometimes it's spicy. Sometimes it's lingerie and dildos.
Okay.
Sometimes it's, like, nice marble frames, silverware.
Rolexes.
I don't know who's filling out for your third Rolex.
An Amy Sherrill painting.
You're not getting any art from me, okay? Nice wishes.
A beautiful Charles Gaines would be lovely.
If my neighbors throw out any trash in the coming weeks, I'll, like, siphon through that
for you,
okay? You know, that's how much I love you. Trash art.
That's about how much all my friends love me. Okay, so that, and then the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
But then again, what is the bachelorette party if it is not to, like,
like, health and wellness nonsense thing.
Okay.
Like, we could go away for, like, a short weekend and do, like, yoga and meditation and sound baths and hiking and eating good food.
That's so...
You're already bored?
Yeah, I mean, should we go do, like, an ayahuasca retreat?
Okay, I thought we were doing sober time.
Can we go? Yeah, but no. That's, like, plant medicine.
Okay.
Or, like, maybe we go do, like, group ketamine therapy.
Oh, okay. No, I'm putting the kibosh on that.
I'm just kidding.
There will be no group ketamine therapy at your bachelorette party.
I'm trying to think, like.
There will be eating.
Okay.
There will be sweet treats.
Like what? Working out? Like a workout class?
Cultural. Like, we could go somewhere cool. Like, I don't know. Upstate New York. Go to Hudson, New York.
I want them to shut the MoMA down for me.
Okay.
MoMA?
What money and what connections?
Hey,
MoMA.
Get at Jerry Gagosian. I want my bachelorette party there. We'll make it an art piece. We're definitely not doing, like, a normal... I mean, I'm too old. I know you always get mad at me when I say that. But, like, really, I'm not doing the, like, fucking, like, white dress down an aisle. I'm not doing that shit. I can.
You're too avant-garde for that anyway.
No, but I, like, honestly.
But you're and saving yourself for Matt. The white dress is obviously appropriate.
Obviously. No, we have to, like, get legally married anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it is.
I would not.
I have, like, the matriarch of the art world who's going to be the witness of my wedding.
Cute.
My, like, legal wedding, my DMV wedding. And then I think, like, Matt and I are just going to reappropriate our family's annual vacation to St. Bart's and make it all about us.
That's perfect. I love every vacation to be about.
Yeah. And so now we're just going to ruin it for everyone because every year it's going to be our anniversary party when we go. It's going to be great.
Toxic. No, I love that. It is really special because you guys do that every year.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to go someplace that you always know.
Exactly.
You go with family.
And then, like, honestly, all I want to do is, like, cook with my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, lay in sunny places, swim, float.
Receive gifts, showers of praise.
You know,
long speeches about what an instrumental and influential figure you are in all of our lives and how we would be nowhere without you.
Is that the kind of stuff they say to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why a little liquor is great, because you're like, oh, yeah. Tell me more.
You're like, I believe you right now. I believe you right now. The hangover the next day. Yeah.
Then the crippling anxiety, and you're like, they hate me. My precious.
No, I'm registering at Hauser and Worth. So if you want to get me and Matt a wedding gift, yeah. It has to be a studio. Basically anybody on their roster will do.
Okay.
So we'll be registered there. And I guess our secondary registration will be, we'll just register with all of TAFA.
Okay.
So feel free, info@gagosian.com. We'll tell you where to ship the art. On that note, okay, so holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't tell you guys what I'm working on, but I'm working on an enormous art project in England scheduled for 2025.
It'll be amazing.
For the fall. And it's a very big undertaking in every single sense of the word. It's the most serious thing I've ever done.
Yeah, would you say it's the biggest project you've ever worked on?
The biggest project I've ever done. The most people ever so far will see it. And I feel like it's a contribution to society.
Yeah. What are you excited about giving back to the community?
It's a public, a large scale public art installation in London. How about that? I can say that. So I had the distinguished pleasure to go be an Anglophile for a couple days and take a bunch of meetings and meet with all of the people that are going to help me make this thing come to life, and see my friends at AWIDA, which is Association for Women in the Arts. Yeah, actually, it was very blurry. One thing I have to say that is so funny is, like, for the record, you guys, I'm sorry, sue me, but, like, I really like the vanilla latte from Starbucks. Like, I don't know what they did to the world. I should probably Google it, but I'm addicted to it, okay? It's a problem, actually, that I have. I have, like, two a day, okay? But it was really crazy because people in, like, London do not drink that much Starbucks. And every time they would see me, they're like very polite, but they'd always like remark like, my goodness gracious, my dear girl, like, that's quite a bit of caffeine for you.
Are you well?
I'm like, why?
That's off me.
Yeah. No, but I was there for just a few days. Like, I didn't even have time to get on the time zone. It was like fly in, have all of these meetings. It's very interesting for me because as an artist, this is a very big step for me. I can't wait to actually tell everyone what it is, but it's really me growing up too. I'm like, I'm growing up. On stage or on TV.
Teenager.
That's how I feel because the project is serious and it will seriously interface with millions of people, which means like having to think about a project like that and to think like, if I have to send one or a few messages, like what is that today? Because we know it is a time that is quite fraught for a myriad of reasons. Not that being alive has like ever been fucking easy or a blast, but like, you know, yeah.
Wouldn't say that applies to all.
Yeah. But I mean, I do feel like collectively there is a need for like some hope and some joy, like joy,
frivolity, some light at the end of the tunnel,
and
right?
Like
that's so bleak all the time.
So that's kind of actually been the focus, and so I'm kind of nervous because like the people that I'm working with, again, can't say who, but like they're like, you know, very proper British people, and they're like, you know, you can do many things. You don't want to censor your art. They're like, but please, no big dicks. And I'm like laughing. So I'm like, I am not going to put
like, that's not my brand.
Like, that's not like the ha-ha joke that I'm trying to do here is like put a big dicks in a public space.
Yeah, your friends say it. Yeah.
But no, it feels like such a crazy responsibility. That's the only word that I can sort of equate it to, where I'm like, I have a responsibility. Like, it matters what I fucking say.
It does.
And like, it matters.
The impact you're going to
have
matters too.
And so obviously I'm really excited about it, but it is like, it's a lot of red tape. It's working with very serious bodies. It's of, you know, bureaucracies. And also it's, trying to like bring something to life that I feel is genuine for me, mm-hmm. that is an offering to the public. Yeah. So I'm really excited about it, but it's definitely not like I always have to remind people like I'm an artist and Jerry Gagosian is a project.
Yeah.
And like what I'm doing in London is like another project. And like what I'm doing in London has no relationship to
Jerry brand even be affiliated?
No. Probably not. I mean, I'm going to obviously take advantage of my social media platform to like share it when it's up.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
So they're just very, very separate. And actually, like, I would say that this project, if the art world likes what I do, fine. Like, that'll be a nice cherry. But I'm actually not making this body of work for the art world. I am making this body of work for like children. I'm making it for people who have to like walk through public spaces. Who may be in a really shitty mood or feel down. I'm making it for moms that have to like drag around their snotty nosed kids
and a stroller, screaming, having a bad day, getting fired. It's for the people.
It's definitely a public art work for people, and it's not necessarily for the art world. And like I said, it's so interesting how I almost feel insecure about it, where I'm like, oh, but like, what if the art world doesn't like it? And what if they criticize it? And then I keep having to remind myself, but like, it's not for them.
And you already got the biggest stamp of approval by the people who are helping you with this exhibition. So I think that should be a little pat on your back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be really great. So that was London.
Wait, but you gave so many tidbits. You have to tell them, you beautiful listeners.
You beautiful listeners.
When they can actually know what you're talking about.
So I'm just about to get a contract called a heads of terms. It's like first you get a letter of engagement, then you get something called a heads of terms. I can't officially announce it until our architectural plans are approved by this body that I am working with, because, you know, we have to be very respectful of structures. Mm-hmm.
So that will still be sometime.
Yeah. So but we get the heads of terms this week, which means like we can begin to start like strategically reaching out to people that we want to like be involved with the project. But I can't like announce it until we know that X artwork won't destroy something that is potentially ancient.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say about that. But I'm very, very excited. I'm very honored. And I actually owe the opportunity and the chance that I get to do this to the fact that I went to business school. Mm-hmm. Hear me out. Because I think that the only reason that I got the opportunity is because I took a situation that maybe from the outside looked like financially sort of bleak.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can build the structure, the financial structure around this to like make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that having the ability, that knowledge to do that, gave me that added. I mean, I made my sculpture in Korea, which some people saw it and know exactly what I'm talking about. Some people are like, I didn't know you make sculpture. But I had an exhibition in Korea during Freeze this last year. And then I LA Freeze, the year before that, I exhibited two sculptures. So I've been doing this for a while, but this is like the biggest sort of in a totally different direction. But I do owe it to like having, even having like half of a degree now, like it has like empowered me to like
take chances
to learn how to structure things, which I think is probably not a bad thing for a lot of artists to consider. Like a lot of opportunity is there if you can figure out how to like use money to lubricate the idea.
Yeah.
So that happened and then flew home and then like, was it Freeze right away?
Well, are you going to talk about this?
Oh, so you guys who have listened to Arts Max season one know that our charming other host,
My enemy,
her
rival.
No, who is literally, they're the same person.
I killed him.
They send me the same texts within minutes of each other. It fucking weirds me out sometimes. Like, it's really funny. So Matthew and I have been together for 3 years and we met at Christie's. He was working in the finance department back then. He's not in the art world anymore, thank God. But he was running the charity department and I went to a show that he put on called Say It Loud. And I saw this fucking hot ass guy standing in the corner in his like Italian suit. Who was
an Italian stallion?
Oh my God. But he was like standing next to this like prim Chanel'd like.
Was it me?
Brown. Oh. No, like brown mousy, like not like Russian Chanel. I'm talking like Protestant Chanel.
Oh, okay.
Like girl with like a headband on. And I was like, that's probably his stupid fucking rich pedigreed, you know, girlfriend. Yeah. I was like, that or he's gay, because there's no way that there's somebody this hot that's single in the art world. And he asked me, he goes, oh, so like, what do you think about the show? And I looked at him. I swear, this wasn't even a flirtation thing. I feel like it's kind of dumb to ask Jerry Gagosian, like, what do you think of the show?
Yeah.
Because, like, I said to him, you should not ask me that because I don't think you want me to be honest. Yeah. And we laughed about that. And then we found out we were going to Mr. Star City's birthday the next day. And he was like, save me a seat. And I was like, okay. And he came to the party and I swear to God, like he was my boyfriend from that day on. Like, and it's kind of always been the same, like a tremendous amount of love, but like always at like I remember when he came to LA, cause I was still living in LA at the time. Our first like LA date was to go into a oxygen chamber at Nextel.
This is what sober people do when they go
into this guy. Fun stuff. And I just remember like because of like the size of it, we had to like lay in it. And I remember that we were laying like butt to butt and we were like laughing so hard because we like barely knew each other, but we were like butt to butt and we're playing with each other's feet, like talking and like breathing a lot of oxygen. I don't know. But I was like, it instantly, like that was like our like third or fourth date. And it was like instantly so comfortable. And yeah, what can I say? Like 3 years in, he doesn't annoy me. 3 years in, he inspires me. 3 years in, he actually anchors me and helps me be more stable than I am on my own because I'm a fucking psycho. And actually, I was like listening to some podcast or something and they were like, well, getting married by definition is like settling. And I was like, yeah, settling. Like I'm settling.
You're settling in.
Yeah. It's like nice. It's very nice.
The comfort and consistency.
Yeah. So the other day we have a home and we have two cats who are basically our children, Rumi and Paris. And I was upstairs getting ready for Yale Open Studios and I was dressed, but like no makeup, no hair, no nothing. And he like comes up and he makes sure Rumi's in the room. I'm like, what is going on with you? And he starts like telling me how beautiful I am. And I'm like,
I've looked better.
I have brushed my teeth today. Yeah. This is super bare minimum, whatever it is you're talking about. But then, like, at a certain point, I think because of, like, the look on my face, he had to say, like, this is real.
Yeah.
Because aww. I was like, I think I was like, what are you, like, like, what are you doing right now? And then he, like old-fashioned, like, got on one knee.
Will you marry?
And he asked me to marry him. And
she got this disgustingly small rock.
Yeah.
I can't even look at it. It's, like, being associated with poor stuff.
Which I actually picked out. And I didn't know that I was picking it out. I was, like, joking. I was like, buy me this. Doesn't this look so good on hand?
It's the cost of the house.
Yeah, he was like, absolutely not. Like, put it away. Like, don't get any ideas. And I was like, you're no fun, you know? Yeah. And then I didn't know he was, like, there to make a deal, like, to buy the ring. So, like, I was, like, genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
And then we went to Yale Open Studios, and right across the street is the museum. Have you been?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice.
Are you sure?
Next time you visit, no, let's go. And I was, like, it felt so fitting because we live, like, 20 minutes away to, like, get engaged, like, instantly be in the car, and then suddenly, like, I'm in the room with, like, all of these artists that I feel are my spiritual family. So I know it was a little cringe, but I was, like, posting my ring with, like, the Helen Frankenthaler and the so Andy Warhol funny. And the Matisse.
Warhol, my dad.
Yeah.
Dad, what do you think?
He would be so proud.
Yeah.
No, so it was really nice. And then we did Open Studios, which I can't say for sure. I had some funny experiences at Yale Open Studios. First of all, I just want to say, I don't give a fuck what art school you go to. If you haven't even graduated from school and somebody is interested in a work on paper of watercolor,
yeah,
I don't give a fuck if it's Yale. It is not $6,000. This girl, like, dead serious. I was like, that it was quite nice.
She's
in for a rude awakening when she tries to, allegedly Yale, I don't know if it's the star machine of times past and of recent history. I mean, I don't know if you'll be a star if you graduate from there, but you at least get to shoot your shot.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes. Mm-hmm. I saw a few artists I thought were kind of good and sort of interesting. Need to, like, I'm old school where I'm like, okay, you can be as technically good as you want, but then you need to go live in the world and suffer. Yeah. And then, like, that is the alchemy of good art. And I'm a sicko that way. Like, I'm like, I don't care how technically good you are. Like, I need to, like,
show me some pain.
I need, like, and show me some triumph and show me, you know, some regret and some hope. And, like, let me feel something. So I saw some people who have, like, we'll call it potential.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of what I would call hashtag safe art, mm-hmm. which is just a lot like the Whitney Biennial.
A lot like Freeze.
Yeah. But it's just, like, a lot of this art where I'm like, oh, let me guess this, like, political slant. It's so weird with, like, art school and academia because – allegedly, I always thought, like, you know, artists were supposed to be, like, fucking weirdos and freaks and have our own thoughts and, like, that's what differentiates us. Mm-hmm. But then you go and you realize when you're going to an art school, you're going to, like, an artist factory. Mm-hmm. And then you're just, like, looking at a bunch of people who, for at least now, are all thinking pretty much exactly the same. So it was like there was no diversity of thought, which I thought was interesting because, of course, it's not like there were no white males. So it's not like there wasn't, like, diversity of ethnicities, all kinds of, you know, gender orientations and whatnot, but didn't see tons of diversity of thought.
But was that true across the whole board? Like, you don't think people coming from different backgrounds have experienced different hardships and are putting something new into their work? Not all these people are coming from, like, cushy.
Oh, no, I don't think. Oh, no. I'm sure they're coming from all kinds of destitution and abuse and horror and whatever. But what I mean to say is that they go to school and they get academized. Yeah. I did too. Like, where, like, all of a sudden certain causes seem to matter to everyone, yeah, and everyone has the same belief about them. Yeah. Or, like, everybody is, like, making work about their identity. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I can't believe I'm, like, stuttering this, but, like, there is art that exists that isn't about identity.
Yeah. So at what point in their career will that change? The minute they graduate?
No, it's going to be a rude awakening for some. Also, the zeitgeist has to change. Mm-hmm. The art world, if you think about, like, what has been trendy for the last couple of years, it's all, like, identitarian politics.
Yeah.
And, like, at a certain point, like, the world just turns, and that'll change. And they'll be out of school, and they won't be surrounded by a bunch of other people who are propping up all of their same belief systems. And then they'll have an opportunity to, like, develop their own systems of belief.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, actually, I don't want to, like, shade anyone too much, because I was there. I went to art school. Mm-hmm. I had to, like, unlearn art school.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And they're kids. Like, we'll look at them, but they're kids. We give them an opportunity after they graduate to self-identify.
What is chunky in this drink?
Not.
Is that the adaptogens?
Anything that's chunky.
Are adaptogens chunky?
No. Did we check the expiration date?
No. But it's oat milk. So we're just going to go ahead and say it's okay, whatever that just was. Okay.
If Jerry dies later, we know my
own. Lord knows. I have an affinity for food poisoning. No, so it was, like, it was fine. It was good. Like I said, there's some people, like, there was this one girl. I wish I knew her name. She was, like, making me laugh. Actually, I was like, I would so want to be best friends with you if we were in art school together. She's Korean. I'm so sorry. I don't remember her name, but she was like, I was like, as soon as I walked from the studio, I was like, I know I like this girl's painting. So fucking weird. I was like, what is that painting over there about? She's like, that's about ghost rape. Wait. And she's like, yeah, allegedly it, like, really happens a lot in Korea. And she starts, like, telling me about
ghost,
like, stories of ghost rape. And then, like, also stories about, like, people that believe that they're in relationships with ghosts.
Oh, wait. Okay. I'm sorry. So a ghost is raping a person. A live human, not a ghost is raping another ghost.
No.
Like, figuring
it. No. Okay. Like, sorry. I guess we shouldn't be laughing about rape, but ghost rape sounds very funny to me. I was like, oh, okay. This is like, and it was actually, like, a really fun, great painting. I don't know how I would explain that to my mother-in-law. This is, like, my new ghost rape painting. But I liked her. There were definitely, like, a couple of artists that I was like, okay, like, you're gonna be, you're cool, but you're gonna be, like, cool in five, six years. Like, now you need to go out and, like, just let, like, New York and the art world just kick you relentlessly in the head, and then greatness will come.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is like that, though. I saw some, like, funny thing that, you know, like, those memes that are, like, I thought I'd go on a little adventure today, and it's somebody, like, rowing a boat, but then they, like, accidentally, like, row down, like a waterfall.
Yeah.
or, like, the duck that's, like, sitting right on the edge. Like, when I see these, like, children about to graduate with their MFAs, I'm like, you don't know what's coming. They go to Yale, yeah, so they're going to have it easier than San Francisco Art Institute draft school I went to. But it's still, it doesn't matter. It's hard to be an artist. So that was cool. And then it was freeze.
And then it was freeze. Best week of the year after TAFE. Second best.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to let you start. I actually purposely, because I knew we were going to record today, I released my essay, Freeze Was an Onion. Tagline.
Great title.
Tagline, The Shed is Dead. But Why don't you go first?
I mean, I think you and I were of the same thoughts as I think most people were, where, you know.
Which most people were. Let's reiterate that. We aren't the only
this
dickheads.
This was a conversation that we were having with every single person, where the art was
gallerists, collectors, other artists, people who work there,
shippers.
A lot of people were saying
people really care about the shippers' opinions, guys, by the way.
Yeah.
The consensus was, you know, the art was the same. Not bad, not amazing, but what is really lacking is like the energy of Freeze. Like, what is going on there? It was so stale. And just like even their VIP lounge, in comparison to last year, you went upstairs and I was like, where is all of their funding? Like, are they in a financial crisis? Like, last year you had Dr. Barbara Strum giving out like a vending machine of free things. You had the beautiful Ruin Art Bar right in the middle. It felt like a community coming together. Everyone's getting free little hand creams and drinking champagne. And this year you walk upstairs and there was like one seat.
It looked like IKEA.
Yeah. It looked like a pop-up.
Yeah.
And there was like two seats to sit in. No one was smiling. No one was having fun.
No one was getting drunk.
No one was getting drunk, which is crazy because in comparison to last year at like 4 p.m., the lounge was like kind of a club.
Yeah.
And this year it was completely dead. And I think that energy trickled down.
Mm-hmm.
Sales were fine, I heard.
I heard sales were fine. They weren't, like, crazy, but they were fine.
Yeah, breaking even, which is, like, what you kind of expect as a market. But I don't know, like, what is the draw to Freeze now? And why are these galleries spending, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars to ship their entire team and their artwork from Paris for a fair that no one seems enthusiastic about?
Okay. Obviously, I have a lot to say about the subject, which honestly, read the report if you want the eloquent version, because now you're just going to get the blah, blah, blah inside my head version. Endeavor bought the Armory Show and they also, and Chicago Expo. And so I'm guessing that they're stretched and they're probably restructuring a lot right now. And they're probably, whether it's intentional or not, like stripping everything down to its like most bare bones essential.
Yeah.
Like I describe it in the essay as like getting into like a Toyota that has like no bells and whistles. Like you have to manually roll up the windows.
Yeah.
Like you have to like lock the car with a key, like as opposed to like getting into like, I don't know, a Rolls Royce Phantom or something.
Exactly.
It just felt very, very, very brandless, very stripped down, cultureless, devoid of like, I don't know. Conversion rates at fairs are terrible as it is because it's like you're either allowed to buy a cup of coffee and a shitty craft service turkey sandwich or an $800,000 Pat Steer from Hauser & Wirth.
Yeah.
Nothing in between.
Yeah.
Which is like,
so the in-between is the $70 day pass that you have to buy.
There's so many missed opportunities, honestly, to get money from people. Like, talk about it being a business. Mm-hmm. And also, like, talk about, like, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the art world. Like, there is no art that is not of X price.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it to go into, like, a place that looks like there should be an H&M and a Zara. You feel like you're in a factory.
Yeah.
Like, you're just getting run up and down these escalators. There's nowhere to sit, like you're saying. Like, there's no delicious food. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't they have, like, good New York restaurants? We have so many good restaurants in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm gonna say something really crazy here for you art world folks. But, like, put some fucking jazz on the top floor or, like, something, you know, like, make it, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Like, make it nice to go to. Instead, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the mall at the 9/11 shopping center.
Yes. The Oculus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just, like, 100%. You're, like, and also, you know, the shadiest thing somebody said about Freeze to me in my DMs that I LOL'd so hard. They said, I felt like I was trapped in an airport where no airplanes were taking off.
Comedy. I love that.
That was true. There was nowhere to sit. I spoke to a friend who's a dealer. She was like, I don't care. She goes, but I had to like give up my seat half of the day to like guests because the guests were like, there's nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to sit.
So how do we fix freeze? They need to move locations. They need like an experience coordinator, somebody to come in and like help bring some Baba Vroom back to this thing, because we love freeze. The art world loves freeze, and it's kind
of sad. Well, so I don't know if we love freeze. I would say the art world now is dependent on freeze.
So we love
it. It's a drug that galleries are addicted to. If they do not inject the drug, they die in obscurity. So like you have to, as a business, like it's fucked up. You have to buy into it, but it doesn't seem to be offering very much right now. And God knows like what they're going to do to Armory.
Yeah.
They're just trying to buy up market share right now because it's a duopoly. It's a Coke and Pepsi duopoly. It's Art Basel brand, which is Hong Kong, Paris, Basel, Switzerland, and Miami. And it's Freeze, which is London, New York,
LA,
Seoul, and now Chicago and Armory.
And again,
they're just like, I think they're just buying up all this real estate. But it's like, to me, sorry, again, it's not even strategic. If you're going to buy something, if you're going to buy something, buy the fucking independent.
Yeah.
Buy Nada. Buy these fairs that are your pipelines to what the next generation of contemporary art is going to look like.
Well, don't you
think that makes
them think that's the Armory and Expo? Don't you see that from their point of view? Maybe they do think Armory is like their biggest.
No, I think Expo, as far as I have related to and understood Expo to be, I would say Expo is like a mixture between Untitled. This is like such nerdy art talk. It's like a mixture between like Untitled, which no shade because they've gotten better.
They're great now.
Yeah. It's like Untitled mixed with a very small local regional fair.
Okay.
And I mean, it's in a terrible space. The vibes are off in that building too. It's fucking weird in there. But, you know, there are really great collectors in like the flyover states, as I call them in America, which is like very rude and dismissive to say. There are amazing art collectors and collections out there. So it does make sense to like have, I guess, a fair in the Midwest. Maybe pick a better fucking time of year to do it when it's not cold.
Amazing.
And like the city is beautiful and has like incredible history and its own culture. But, like, I certainly hope they don't intend to just, like, plop another freeze in place of Expo. And what you said, I love that you called it a vibes coordinator, because I think I was calling it, like, a vibes curator. Like, they need to, like, find the through lines that bring the brand together, which are all these different locations. And then to each location, be authentic.
Give it its own essence.
Yeah. And like, instead of having these like sections, you know, like this is the explore section or like, I don't even know what they're called.
The
like
focus section.
Focus section or whatever. I'm like, just give that to Nada.
Yeah.
For free.
Mm-hmm.
And then get equity in Nada as a company.
Yeah.
Later on. Because artists that are showing at Nada now are eventually the artists that are going to be showing at Freeze and Art Basel. That is the direct pipeline.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more fucking sense than buying the Armory show, which is like tomato, tomato, unless they're going to just totally get rid of Freeze New York and do like the arm or get rid of the Armory and have Freeze New York at the Javits Center. I don't know. Something's going on.
I don't know. I mean, they did say they do not plan to like interfere with these fairs. They're just going to let them keep being themselves. Do we think that that's true?
No, because they're hiring for a new director of the fair.
Yeah, but Armory is hiring, not like Endeavor.
Armory's you have to go through Freeze's website for sure. I looked at the application.
Yeah, I did too.
You'd be a great fair director.
I once was.
Caller. Yeah, also the money is like terrible. Like it's like kind of crazy when you look at the offering for like the scope of that role, which is
tremendous.
So important.
Yeah.
Like you're contributing to like not just the culture of New York City itself, but like making New York City the like import export of like the globe for contemporary fine art. Like, that's a big fucking job.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but in New York City, $200,000 ain't gonna cut it. What? Like,
but in comparison to what I know other fair directors are making, that was like a, oh, okay, they have a little money to shell out.
Really?
Yeah. Which is just sad across the board.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's crazy. Like, Art Basel also, like, moved their offices to New York. And I do have some intel, some tea about, like, what they're paying their staff. And I'm like,
it's abysmal.
It's abysmal. And this is why you end up with a really shitty system that is not a meritocracy in the art world. And it becomes just this nepotistic circle jerk of idiots working in these companies who, you know, can basically afford to not have a job. And that's why they get to stay in the job.
Wait, I heard something crazy about a number that someone's getting paid at Freeze. The girl who does, and I didn't hear this from her, I heard it through the pipeline, the girl who does all of their drawings for all the fairs, so all the CAD drawings, that's a serious fucking job, £38,000 a year. Like, and she lives in London. It's not like she lives in the middle of nowhere and it's remote and that's maybe an okay thing. No.
Yeah.
That is not money that you can live on now. And she's doing all of their shows.
Yeah, but that's like Christie's catalogers.
Yes. Yeah, it's crazy.
Christie's catalogers also high. Have you ever heard of like the eternal interns at like blue chip galleries that literally intern for like 8 years and like don't care and are not going anywhere because as long as their parents think they're like going to show up somewhere for a job a few days a week, like
fund their life.
Yeah, they'll fund their life. And like I feel for anybody. There was a meme, actually didn't make it, but somebody else did. And there was like I studied for like a master's in like art history and this and that because I thought like the art world was a meritocracy. And then you like show up and you're like, nope. It actually has like nothing to do with Matt was at Christie's. He was working the finance department. He applied for like a higher up position because they were hiring. And basically because he didn't go to Eton or something, even though he went to Bocconi, which is like the number one business school in Europe right now, for luxury and art. And his first job was at Goldman Sachs. He lost the job to like somebody, some like daddy's boy, which is like crazy. So he was like, fuck this. I'm just going to go back to traditional finance. I'm glad he did because like there's real money to be made there.
Thank you, finance.
But like, it's really disheartening and crazy when you hear how little these people are making, which again is why it was funny. One of my commenters, like I love my commenters. Somebody said, because of course there's like the rah-rah team that's like, art fairs are uncool now because they're so corporate, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, shh, no, that's not the problem. And what somebody said that I was like, yes, I actually DM'd him afterwards as he said, no, it needs to be more capitalist. Yes. It needs to be, and I use the example of like Harrods.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever been to Harrods in London?
Mm-hmm.
It is a goddamn fucking orgy. When you walk into Harrods, it's like, where do I park my money?
Yeah.
Like, pick a star in the sky. Like, you know what I mean? Anything. And like, actually, they really do tier and version things at different prices. I was looking at like their samples that were like came from the runway. Mm-hmm. And you can get like an incredible dress by an amazing designer for like £58.
Yeah. We need that.
Yeah. And then of course you can go and buy like, I don't know, $9,000 Comme des Garçons, whatever. But like these art fairs need to be like, and this is good for everyone. This is the democratization and diversification of the art world. You should just walk into it and you're so impressed by like the immensity of all of the art and all of the possibilities of all the ways that you can spend your money. And also the other example that I used, I missed you, by the way.
Guys, we haven't seen each other in
like 3 days.
3 days. It's honestly,
it's a lot.
Tears were shed.
I know. And also, I feel like Drew Barrymore right now. That's gross.
Your secret.
I went and I was looking at, like, what do you get if you get a Taylor Swift VIP pass? I was like, interesting, like, curiosity. And it's like, I'm sure it costs them $4 to like put this bag together. Where it's like, you know, she's like big into like these friendship bracelets.
And you get like a toe with some friendship
bracelets. You get like a toe. You get a fucking friendship bracelet. Maybe you get a t-shirt or something. You get like stickers that say something. What? It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
A journal so you can write your own girl power songs. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You can go Google it. But anyway, guess what? Whoever those people are, they leave. Not to mention like all the other merch that's there. But like they get to leave.
Feeling love.
Feeling love and feeling involved. Connected
and
feeling involved. Mm-hmm. Whereas literally you go to Freeze and there were two options for money. Like an $800,000 purchase or an overpriced cold turkey sandwich option. Yeah. Nothing else in between. And I just like get rid of these liminal spaces. Mm-hmm. Create third spaces, which means
people can hang out
where people hang out and like let artists take over those spaces and then have, you know, financial service companies and all these people that want to lease this valuable cultural real estate, make them pay for the commission for the artists to create these third spaces. Anyways, I literally said, like, I hope somebody from Freeze calls me. I'm not being this way to be an asshole. I'm being this way because I care. I think art fairs matter.
They matter. They are the mecca. I love a fucking art fair. And I know you don't love Freeze, but I love Freeze.
Well, I love Freeze in London.
Yeah.
I have loved certain versions of it in LA. Mm-hmm. I still don't think that they've smoothed that out. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a part in this ecosystem.
And there's just so much. There's just enormous potential with it, and it's just kind of sad to see the trajectory that it's going. And maybe this is just a rough year, but last year felt great and more vibrant, and that maybe they were going to take it to the next level with the Armory and Expo being purchased. And now it kind of fell very short.
Also, I know that this is like, I wrote about this in the essay Millionaire's Mall that I shared online when I was like spiritually coming to peace with like what an art fair was, because I had to like accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
Millionaire's Mall, like you walk in and it is branded. It is like private equity and luxury and real estate. Like these are, I'm sorry that we don't have popes funding art anymore. We don't have kings. We've tapped out all of our collectors and patrons and whatever. Like this is the next realm of like making art bigger and art, you know, which for a long time existed basically like a small cult.
Yeah.
Like a cult of probably 50, maybe 100,000 people, maybe like on the high end. Mm-hmm. Is now coming into this era of like fandom, where fandom and the cult are like coexisting.
Yeah.
So there's like the old school like collectors. I get it. You've been going to Basel since 86 or whenever the fuck that fair started. And you're very like dedicated and you're a very serious collector, blah, 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 blah. But like there is another generation of people who come to fairs and they may not have the exact same priorities now as these cult like members. Mm-hmm. But guess what? We are about to go through the largest wealth transference in the history of humanity. It's $72 trillion of
to
money.
Millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's coming in real estate and just cold hard cash. Now is the time to embrace this like fandom.
Yeah.
And like let these people have the opportunity to fall in love with art.
Yeah.
And I really felt like I went to an experience that was tedious and was like, I mean, with this fucking, my God, these booths, you guys, like you got it. I get it. It's like galleries have to show artists on their roster, but like literally you can predict what is going to be in every single booth. They're all it's fucking same. The same. It's always the same. Okay, fine. I guess we can let that go, I guess. But then just bring more in.
Yeah.
More artists. More. Make it more. Maximize it. Exactly. Like, overwhelm. And make it so that the person who has the $20 budget gets to take something home. The person who has the $5,000 budget gets to take something home. The person with the $50,000 budget gets it. Like, hear it and allow people to like experience get into it
and get involved.
Because you also don't know who's going to be rich soon.
Yeah.
They might not be now.
They might be inheriting that $72 trillion.
Yeah.
So just because they're not worthy or it's not available to them right now, well, turn around in 2 years, it might be.
And let me tell you, like, part of the like power and sway that the art world has held over me for like ever since like I walked into my first fair in 2005 is like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm crying about that experience. But like the elegance and like the fashion and the joie de vivre, the virality, the like hint of like sex somewhere in the air and naughtiness somewhere in the air. And that was the most fucking sterile experience ever. I was like, no one's having fun. And I heard like, they passed out the ruin art and it was like room temperature and nobody wanted to fucking drink it. And like nobody was having a good time because nobody could sit down.
And with that, we love you, Free. Still, Nada was amazing. Future was amazing. We love the women behind 154. Those were all very worthwhile fairs.
Yes.
We support them completely. The vibes at Future were great. Freeze, you could learn something from them. They had two boys like pushing alcohol around in like a bellhop cart with like rap music blasting. It was a riot. So
yeah,
that could be fun for
you. Or like maybe Freeze like offers a section to 154.
I know I always want to say 152.
No, you always do that. It's an African art fair. Like give them a space. Whole section and then just take get equity out of the company. Like, and that's good for everyone. Because
next year is Art Week at the Javits Center, but all the fairs exhibit there simultaneously and you can just meander through.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense and that would be more convenient because a lot of my like art world stand friends were like bitching their asses off because they're like, what the fuck? Like the auctions are right around the corner. TAFAF's around the corner. Then you have all these fairs this week. They're like, I don't know when to come.
Yeah.
And like, it's poorly planned. Mm-hmm. Maybe people are going to have to share a little bit in New York and maybe we're going to have to put it all within the span of a week. Yeah. Or my big grand idea is I was like, why don't they do Freeze Greenwich?
No.
Don't they do Freeze Greenwich? You'd have higher conversion rates. People would spend way more money. If you're just catering to like people at, you know, this level, then put it there.
All right. No to Freeze Greenwich. Yes to all of her other ideas.
Yes to Freeze Greenwich.
Okay.
Is there anything else that we want to say? We're going to keep this one short and sweet because you guys are getting a
double F because we have TAFAF and Independent this week, which we're so excited for. We love TAFAF.
We love TAFAF. That's our favorite fair. What are we wearing? I'm so excited. Okay.
It's going to be like Met Gala, but better. That was terrible.
Oh my God. Kim Kardashian.
Where are her ribs?
Also, she looks so uncomfortable and miserable.
Shrubs are dead. Why are you wearing a shrub? Anyway, we're not going to talk about it.
Weird. And also, Zendaya, who I think is the most beautiful woman on the planet, the fuck did they put her in? I did not like that.
I first looked at it, was like, this is giving Beetlejuice. But then after staring at it longer, I was like, okay. I mean, at least she really committed to the theme. She looked ugly.
And
but
she is
about
the most beautiful woman in the...
Whatever. Still cool.
Okay. Next year, we would like to be invited to the Met Gala. I'm also just throwing that out there.
Jerry will make my dress.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys are going to get another episode. So we're just going to keep this short and sweet about Freeze and the other fairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
If you would like to sponsor any episodes, please reach out to me at ann@kagosian.com. Once again, we're completely self-funded.
You can still call in and leave a voice message. We're going to do another call-in show because we have a lot of voice messages, by the way.
Yep.
And you help us out a lot by giving us 5 stars on whichever platform it is that you listen. No 4 stars. We love you so much, and we will see you in a few days.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the internet.
See you on the internet.
Bye. Mm-hmm.